Hi, Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at ISMG. Today I'm speaking with Betsy Hodge, a partner at law firm Akerman LLP. We're going to be speaking about privacy issues involving AI in healthcare. So, Betsy, as we know, AI is turning up in healthcare on many fronts, from the use of generative AI, chatbots, agentic AI, as well as AI enhanced clinical decision support, and in many other areas. What are the AI uses and developments in healthcare that you're most closely watching right now? And what gives you the most concern from a data privacy perspective and why?
Well, I'm interested in seeing the evolution from using AI for administrative type tasks within healthcare systems and health plans, and the migration to AI in for clinical uses. I think that's very interesting and offers a lot of promise. But what I'm looking at from a privacy perspective is how the data is being used, and do organizations really know what is happening to their data as they implement these AI tools or as they work with vendors and developers to develop AI products, and understanding where their data is going and how it's being used if it in fact leaves the organization, the healthcare organization's hands. Because these AI models rely so heavily on large amounts of data, I think there is a risk that organizations may not fully appreciate the value of their data and may not fully appreciate what their vendors and other downstream entities may be doing with their data. So that's what is keeping me up right now.
Let's see. With that said, what about shadow AI use in healthcare? What are the data privacy concerns there, where, perhaps the, officials within a healthcare organization that's responsible for data privacy, security, and other issues, they're not really aware that these shadow AI tools are being used? And how can healthcare organizations gain better control over shadow use of AI that could potentially get them into trouble? And what kind of trouble?
Can get them in a lot of trouble with the Office for Civil Rights and potentially state regulators. But I'll circle back to that and going to your earlier questions. Shadow AI is a lot like shadow IT that healthcare organizations have been dealing with for a while. So it's, AI tools that are being used sort of on the down low, where employees are not necessarily telling their employers what they're doing. And to be clear, frequently this use of shadow AI is motivated by good intentions, meaning, employees have found some AI tool that they think will allow them to do their job, more effectively, more efficiently, but that particular AI tool has not been approved by the organization. So this generally is a situation where the use is well-intentioned. However, the impact to the organization can be substantial because the organization does not know where the data is going. The healthcare organization may not know whether may not have proper consent from the individuals whose data is might be used in the shadow AI. Also with shadow AI, you have the risk not just of improper use or disclosure of patient or health plan participant information, but also proprietary or confidential business information of the organization as well, because the shadow AI has not gone through the organization's vetting to make sure that it is the use is proper, there's safeguards in place, proper consents are obtained, and there's clear identification of, what data may be used and what data cannot be used with the AI. What prompts are you allowed to ask? Which prompts are you not allowed to ask? So, because shadow AI is not regulated by the organization, as I mentioned before, you have the risk of improper use or disclosure of patient or plan participant information, which may result in a reportable breach under HIPAA or could be an impermissible disclosure under applicable state law. You may also have, improper disclosure of, confidential business information, which can have repercussions for the organization as well. Having said that, there are things that an organization can do to try to control the use of shadow AI. For example, one, an organization should have an AI governance committee in place to identify permitted uses of AI and then those uses that are not permitted, but also have a framework, ideally a risk-based framework, in place to review potential use cases for AI. So there is a pathway for employees within the organization to say, hey, I've found this great tool. I think it can really help us. And there is a process for that tool to be pressure tested and to see if it aligns with the organization's goals and perhaps introduced, brought into the light and no longer be in the shadow, and be an authorized AI tool within the organization. But it's also important to make sure that employees understand the risks of using shadow AI. And so, training your employees is critical and making sure they understand the organization's policies around AI use and why it's so important to follow those policies and to understand the risks that improper use of AI can pose to the organization in terms of data leakage, misuse of data, and now is removing into AI use cases in the clinical setting, even potentially patient harm.
Betsy, you had mentioned vendors earlier on. What about patient and other healthcare organization data being used to train AI models? What are the concerns related to even de-identified data and, or other data that's being shared with external partners or vendors?
As I mentioned before, the concern is making sure that the organization knows who is doing what with its data and that that's aligned with the organization's goals for use of AI and for use of its data. Obviously, a healthcare organization's data is a valuable asset, and so the organization should have control of how that data is used, to whom it's disclosed, the purposes for which it's used, and how the organization should be compensated for certain uses of its data. And with respect to de-identified data, the concern or a concern is whether the information really is de-identified. I think in this day and age, you have to rely on the expert method specified in the HIPAA privacy rule rather than trying to redact the what, 18 identifiers. But there is also a concern that perhaps that expert determination that you get that a particular data set is de-identified on day one, on day 365, that may no longer be the case given the developments with AI and data sets. So there is a need to constantly ensure that to the extent you're using de-identified data, that it remains de-identified. And there is also a risk not only that your expert method determination could become stale at a certain point, there's a risk that if the de-identified data is provided to a vendor, that at some point that vendor either ignores restrictions in the agreement to not try to re-identify data, or one of the downstream vendors, is able to re-identify the data. And I think as these data sets get larger and larger, and there are more and more data points, it may become easier and perhaps even too easy to re-identify these de-identified data sets. So that's a concern, and you would, have to address that with, strong language in your contracts and really vetting the vendors that you're working with to make sure that they are good partners with you and will are also committed to the responsible development and use of AI and the data that fuels the AI.
So, Betsy, with that said, if there was a situation where, data was de-identified and then somewhere along the process it got re-identified, being, after it was moved to, an AI vendor, using the data, they thought it was de-identified, but then later on it becomes re-identified. A, how would that happen? And then B, would that be considered a breach? A data breach that, someone had given permission for data to be used in a de-identified way, but now all of a sudden their name is, or their identity is able to be found, and now, this private information might be out there somewhere. What kind of scenarios do you see that could happen?
Well, I will answer your question with the lawyer answer of it depends on whether it would be a reportable breach. It would be a very fact-specific situation. And even if it was not a breach under HIPAA or applicable state laws, you would still, especially for health systems and other healthcare providers, you have the risk of losing the trust of your patients, especially if the information or the data was being used in a way that the patient would not necessarily have anticipated. It's so healthcare organizations, especially providers, really need to be mindful of not only what legal repercussions there may be from information getting re-identified, but also think about patient trust considerations and how that and the potential reputational harm to the organization if information that was initially properly de-identified does become re-identified by the vendor they contracted with or a downstream vendor. And again, it's possible and could become more possible in the future as there's more and more data points about individuals to be able to re-identify the data.
So, Betsy, in terms of the most critical best practices for healthcare sector entities to address right now involving some of these AI data privacy concerns that we were just chatting about, what are your suggestions?
First, have an AI governance committee in place that then establishes an AI governance framework for the organization. And that governance framework, should be risk-based, but also practical, recognizing that you cannot prohibit the use of all AI within the organization. As I mentioned before, you need to offer a pathway for approving certain uses of AI that align with the organization's goals and mission. Because AI does offer a lot of opportunity to improve patient care. Some of the use cases are just, simply astounding. Organizations should also ensure that they are obtaining proper consent for use of patient information, for these various AI use cases and ensure that the uses of AI or the disclosures of AI align with the consent that you have obtained from your patients. And again, this is also providing transparency to patients so they understand how their data may be used, and so they have trust in the organization. You also need to make sure that you manage the life cycle of the AI use and development and are continually assessing the risk and reassessing the risk of to privacy, and also with respect to bias or discrimination, patient safety. You also want to have policies outlining how the data can be used. The organization should have very clear principles about how it will allow its data to be used and disclosed with respect to AI and training AI models whenever possible. Pick the least identifiable data option that will meet the objective of the AI tool. So instead of providing the entire electronic health record, always try to opt for providing de-identified data instead. If de-identified data will not satisfy the need, consider a limited data set instead of, the entire medical record, and then build in safeguards in the contracts with the vendors that you're working with respect to making it clear for what purposes they may use the data and what uses or disclosures are prohibited. So those are probably the top of my list. We could probably go on for a while longer, but I think those would be the main things. And then one last thing, organizations should try to get their arms around where AI is currently being used within their organization. So there are tools out there that can help identify, all the AI tools, including exposing some of that shadow AI that we were talking about before. So then the organization, can take steps to address that appropriately.
And finally, Betsy, you kind of touched upon it without actually calling it this. How about an embedded AI? There's so many companies that are coming up with, new versions or upgrades to their products. There might be some AI in there, but people don't necessarily see the tool or the product as an AI tool, but there's AI in it. Are there risks there that entities should be considering in terms of healthcare situations or concerns there with data privacy, data security?
Absolutely. That's a great question. Because as you described, there are, applications, software tools or services that vendors are providing that historically did not involve AI, did not incorporate AI, but now they have. And sometimes the vendors will let you know that now they have incorporated AI into their products. Sometimes you might read it in, publications, in the news, and other times they don't tell you at all. So it's important to understand where vendors might be incorporating AI, and then to consider do a sort of a risk analysis of which of those applications, products, services, et cetera, potentially use the most data or would pose the greatest risk to the organization if the data was used improperly, and focus on those vendors and, reach out to them and, have your information security team or contracts team, whichever team, reviews periodically your vendors, and have them answer questions about their use of AI so you have a better understanding of the risk. And, I say to prioritize the highest risk vendors, you have to have a risk-based approach to that because most organizations don't have enough people to review every single contract, every product to see if it might have AI in it. So again, that's where you need to have that risk-based approach and target the highest risk vendors or services first, and then do some diligence around, what tools are they using and how are they using your organization's data. Are they training their AI models with your data? Are they using de-identified data? But I think the embedded AI may be, as significant as the shadow AI issue that we talked about earlier.
Well, thank you so much, Betsy. I've been speaking to attorney Betsy Hodge. I'm Marianne Kobasek-McGee of ISMG. Thanks for joining us.